Just going to read two verses of Scripture. I'm going to give you several other verses of Scripture today. Just a little bit different. I have points. I don't have a lot of subpoints today. But I do have quite a few Scriptures that I want to share with you this morning concerning the thought that we're going to look at here in just a few moments on the condition of the heart. And we talked about last week, we begin looking at the seed among the thorns, and we entitled that the hindered heart. And we've seen the first thing that hinders the heart, according to these Scriptures that we've been looking at, simply was the care of this world. I want to pick up back in verse number 22, and I give you the thought today that God has laid upon our heart on the condition of the heart, the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand, and certainly if you're not able to stand, that's certainly okay. Matthew chapter number 13, in verse number 7, the Bible says, "And some fell," speaking of the seed now, the seed of the Word of God, "and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." And then Jesus, given the explanation over in verse number 22, or explaining this parable that he's given in the first part of Matthew chapter number 13. He says in verse number 22, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world," and that's what we dealt with last week, and what we want to deal with this week is the second part, or the latter part of this thought, "and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Father, to thank you for another day on this side of eternity. To thank you, Father, for this opportunity and this privilege, Lord, that you have given unto us. Father, once again, to be able to come back to your house this morning and worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you for the teaching of your word. We thank you for the prayers that's been offered. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful singing. And now, Father, your precious word. Now I pray, Lord, as your servant this morning, God, I pray for a fresh anointing this morning, God, as we stand, Father, in this place. I realize that, Father, we stand in a place where no man can stand alone. I pray that you'd anoint me, touch me. I pray that you would help me this morning as I stand, that, Lord, I would say, Father, the things that need to be said. I pray you'd guard my mouth, that I'd not say anything be contrary, Lord, to your word this morning. And then I pray, Father, as the message goes out, I pray that ears and hearts will be open and receptive, Father, to the preaching of your word. I pray as Christians this morning, Lord, for those that are saved, that we continue to grow and become more concerned about those around about us this morning that do not know you. Then, Father, today, for those that are not saved, those that could be here this morning, that's never truly put their faith and their trust, Lord, in you today, Father, I do pray that, God, you will convict them and draw them. Father, this very day, they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and a free pardon of sin. I pray again now, anoint the message, touch it, use it, and Lord, we'll thank you and praise you, and it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments again this morning, as we continue to consider the condition or the conditions of the heart, let us consider this morning here, out of this text of verse number 22, again, the thought of the deceitfulness of riches. Unfortunately, many people today feel in order to be happy, to be fulfilled, and to be successful in this life, that you must obtain riches and material goods. Now, let me say this morning, there's nothing wrong if God blesses you with material goods and those things this morning. That's not the problem. The problem occurs this morning when mankind sets their affections and priorities on the things of this world instead of having a genuine relationship with a person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray that God would search each of our hearts here this morning and certainly not allow the deceitfulness of riches today to interfere and to hinder those that could be here this morning from trusting Christ as Savior. And you would say, now, preacher, all of us are just common, everyday working people, and we would not be considered rich this morning. Well, this morning, if you take the world as a whole today, the most of the people in the world would look at you and I today and consider us rich because you and I have things and been blessed with things that a lot of people in this world this morning do not obtain. So I want to say this morning that God has been good to you and I. God has blessed us this morning, certainly with many things in our life, many material things in our life that we ought to give Him thanks for today. But I would say that I'm afraid that there are many people that are putting their trust in things this morning rather than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there again, there's nothing wrong with things. If you use those properly, have the right priorities, God can bless you where you can be a blessing to others. But again, the problem comes when people put their confidence and their faith not in the riches so much this morning, but in the deceitfulness here as is illustrated, the deceitfulness of riches. The word deceitfulness as it's used here in the text this morning simply means delusion or to cheat. In other words, the deceitfulness of riches this morning is cheating many people out of a relationship, if you will, within the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, again, I'm telling you this morning, the most important thing in your life is to know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, irregardless of what you may have or you may not have this morning. And so don't let things hinder you, hinder your heart from truly becoming a child of the living God. Now notice what these cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches do. We talked about it a little bit last week, but let me remind you, the Bible says in verse number 22 that it chokes the word and he becometh unfruitful. That word choke simply means to strangle completely. It means literally to drown or to drown out or to crowd out. That's what deceitfulness, that's what the cares of this world will do when the seed of the Word of God is sown into the hearts of those around about us. As I've said many times, Satan will do anything he can to get your mind and your heart and your affection and your focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll use anything that he can in this walk of life to get you today distracted this morning off of what's really important. And again, that's that relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm telling you, there's many people that I'm afraid that they have allowed the deceitfulness of riches and the things of this world for them certainly to affect them in a way to where this morning they have not truly come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, let us consider some things, and I'm going to talk about here quickly this morning. I thought about in the book of Colossians, chapter number 3 and verse number 2. Now, I want to say this before I read this verse of Scripture. I realize that the deceitfulness of riches are keeping people from truly, genuinely being saved this morning. And then I also want to say, as we study our Bibles, and there's a Bible has a lot to say about material things and money and all that, and I'm going to share some of those this morning. But I truly believe it's keeping some folks that are genuinely saved. I'm afraid it's keeping them distracted. I'm afraid it's keeping them out of the will of God this morning and being everything that God would have them to be this morning. Listen, He ought to be our very priority this morning. Hallelujah. God has been too good to you and I this morning. If you're saved and redeemed and on your way to heaven, we owe it all. We owe it all. We owe it all to Him this morning. Not that we could ever repay for our salvation, but I'm glad. Thank God He was willing to pay the highest price that could ever be paid for the sins of mankind by the shedding of His own blood there on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Thank God for what Jesus has done so that you and I could be saved and redeemed and know Him as Savior today. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 2, the Bible says, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. God help us this morning that we think about heavenly things and think about spiritual things. We get so caught up in material things and physical things. How we need a fresh breath from heaven this morning. How we need God. Thank God this morning to smile upon us. Hallelujah. And share His blessings upon us. Thank God, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. As we sang this morning, I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Hallelujah. Thank God today. Aren't you glad that you saved this morning? Hallelujah. Don't let the riches, the deceitfulness of riches, keep you this morning from a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we think about this deceitfulness of riches this morning, considering the conditions of the heart, let me say this morning again, there's many warning of riches from the Scriptures. Don't let it become a hindrance to you trusting in Christ and trusting Him today. Now, first of all, I'm going to give you, again, about four or five things here quickly this morning. We'll give you some verses of Scripture, and I'm going to let you go. The first thing that I thought about in this warning, as we have from the very text this morning, the word of deceitfulness, again, delusion or to cheat. Trusting Christ is the only way this morning, the only way to truly be rich in this world. Now, I want you to think about that. Again, deceitfulness means delusion or to cheat. How many people, we're living in a very delusional time, by the way. Would you agree with me? Very delusional time. And again, it means to cheat. Again, trusting Christ is the only way to truly be rich in this world, and not only in this world, but also in the world to come. We need to realize this morning that everything around us is temporary. But so many people live their life like this is going to be it. Amen. They live as if though there is no death, there is no eternity. Well, friend, you can live like that if you want to. But the fact of the matter is today, there's death before us. There's eternity before us. And the only thing that will matter in this walk of life is what you have done with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only what you have done certainly with Him, but what you have done for Him is all that's going to matter. Now listen, I realize, and God even realizes, and we talked about this last week, that we have needs in this walk of life. And certainly we do. But aren't you glad we got a God that's big enough to supply all our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm glad I've got a Savior this morning that's big enough to save me. I'm glad I've got a Savior that's big enough to take care of me. I'm glad I've got a Savior big enough to keep me. I'm glad I've got a Savior that's big enough this morning to meet every need I've got. Hallelujah, this morning to the Lamb of God. I'm telling you, thank God. I'm telling you this morning, friend, don't let the deceitfulness of riches and the things of this world get your eyes and your mind off of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Because that's the only thing that's going to matter is when we close our eyes in death. But notice the deceitfulness, the delusion, it means to cheat. And again, trusting Christ is the only way to truly be rich in this world and the one to come. You say, well, we don't know a whole lot about that one to come. I understand that. But what we do understand about it, what we have from the Scriptures, I can promise you, you don't want to miss it. Why, you think things look good here and you think things are splendor here, are splendid here. Wait till you get there. Hallelujah. Thank God what men's fighting over here, you'll be walking on over there. Amen. Hallelujah. Think about that. Now listen, I'm glad for every blessing God's bestowed upon me physically, spiritually, financially. Hallelujah. He's the giver of it all, and I thank Him for it this morning. But just to imagine one day after a while, Brother Archie, we're going to step out of this life where people have fought, and people have fussed, and people have given their very life for a little bit of gold. And then you're going to step out one glorious daybreak morning, and we're just going to walk on a street of gold. You say, preacher, I don't know whether I believe that or not. Well, friend, that's your problem. I know what God's told us in His Word, and we can't begin to imagine all the things that God has prepared for those that love Him this morning. I'm telling you, Brother Keith, one day, hallelujah, I'm going to walk on what men's fault for here. Why? Because I've been good. No, because this morning of the one that went to the cross of Calvary and laid down His life that I could know Him this morning. Hallelujah. It's good to be saved this morning, thank God. Hallelujah. But I see the deceitfulness. You think the things of this world are going to fulfill your heart and your life. But friend, I'll tell you, it'll never fulfill that in your heart and your life that only God can fill. But people are trying to fill their lives with all kinds of things this morning. But friend, the only one that will bring true satisfaction, the only one that will bring true peace, the only one that will give true joy, the only one that can bring genuine hope, is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He's the only one that can. So many people are deceived by the things of the riches of this world. Well, preacher, I come to church. Coming to church won't get you to heaven. Now, if you're going to heaven, coming to church is a wonderful place. Even if you're lost this morning, coming to church is a wonderful place. And we're glad you're here. We thank God that you're here. But friend, don't sit in the church pew and die and go to hell. Amen. Preacher, I've been through the baptistry. You can be baptized enough till the tadpoles know your name. That don't mean you go into heaven. You must, as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must have a relationship with Him. How sad it is. There's people in our world, and maybe even people right here this morning. You have been blessed financially beyond measure, but yet you lack a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if you've not even been blessed as far as great bank accounts and houses and all those things, you still got everything you need this morning. Hey man, you got everything you need. But if you don't have Christ, you're missing the greatest need. Notice not only the deceitfulness of riches, but secondly, I want to talk about the discontentment of riches. The discontentment of riches. As we've already said, worldly riches will never fulfill the needs of the heart of mankind. No matter how much he gets, no matter how much he tries, it will never fulfill the heart of mankind. Man has tried it, he has tried it, he has tried it, and yet it always fails. But I'm glad I'm trusting in one this morning that cannot fail, that does not fail. And His name is Jesus. I see the deceitfulness of riches, but I also see the discontentment of riches. Let me give you a few verses of Scripture, and I'm going to read them to you. You can mark them down and go and read this chapter later, because, of course, there's some other great things in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, but I'm going to start reading in verse number 6 this morning. But godliness with contentment is great gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Then verse number 7, listen to this carefully. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You know, there's always been a saying, well, you've never seen a U-Haul truck behind a hearse. Amen. And even if you did, it wouldn't do any good. Because the Bible plainly teaches we come in this world with nothing, we go out with nothing as far as the physical things are concerned. But I'm glad I'm leaving this world, thank God, with something far richer than this world can supply. Thank God I'm glad. Thank God, again, when I close my eyes in death, hallelujah, I'm glad I'm going to wake up in a land that's fairer than day, where I'll never have to worry about anything again. Man, there's so much discontentment. Oh, if I could just get a hold of this, if I could get the bigger house, if I could get the newer car, if I could get the bigger bank account, then I would be happy. Friends, show me anybody that's ever been contented simply because they have a lot of things. Most of the time, people that I've ever been around, if they've got a little bit, number one, they're worried about how they're going to hold on to it. Amen. Now again, being smart financially and all those things, we all ought to be smart financially. And the Bible will teach us to do that. You ought to be smart financially. But this morning, thank God again, trusting in all that. Thank God, I'll tell you what, it's not going to do us a lick of good this morning. We must trust in Christ and Him alone today. I'm telling you this morning, friend, thank God. We ought to get our eyes off of this world. We ought to get them on Christ. Because an individual, either that's got things, they're worried about how they're going to hold on to them, or they're going to worry about how they can get some more. One fellow said one time, some land come up for sale next to his place, and he said, well, I'm going to buy that land. Well, he bought that land, and then some more come available, and he bought that land. And one of his neighbors asked him. He said, "Friend, he said, do you want to buy all the land?" He said, "No, I just want to buy all that joins me." Hey, man, some of you catch up with that after a while. Hey, man, he wants to own all that joins him. Well, I'll tell you what, that'd be it all, wouldn't it? That's what I'm saying. There's no contentment. But the Bible says godliness. Let me read it to you again. Verse number 7 of chapter number 6 of 1 Timothy. The Bible says, again, for we brought nothing into this world, and certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Let us be content. Verse number 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which draw men in destruction and perdition. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we ought to be thankful for what we got. Because God has been good to us. Even if you're here today without Christ, God's been good to you, friend. I want you to understand that God has been good to you. Well, I have you to know, preacher, I've done this and I've done that, and that's the reason I'm where I'm at today. Friend, if it wasn't for God, you couldn't draw the next breath. He's our Creator. And He's the one that supplies our every need. So many people, and I've prayed some even sitting in church pews. You say, preacher, you're throwing rocks this morning. No, I'm just praying that God will deal with your heart if you're here today like this. That you're putting more trust in what you have than the person of Jesus Christ today. Is that not what the Bible's teaching us here in this parable? Man, we look at that first ground and we think, oh my, how in the world could anybody be in that kind of a ditch, condition? Their heart, that hard ground, that wayside, and then that stony place. But then, how about those among the thorns? There's all kinds of things today that will hinder you if you allow them to. Now, God is greater than any hindrance that could come our way. Hallelujah. But you must be willing to look to Him and trust Him. Notice not only the deceitfulness of riches and the discontentment of riches, then I want you to notice the devotion of riches. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 10, for the love of money. It's not the money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Now notice this verse closely. For the love of money is the root of all the evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It will not bring you happiness. It might add to the happiness, but it will not make you happy. Too many people have tried. And everyone that's ever tried has failed. And what I mean by the devotion, as we see here in 1 Timothy, is Paul's writing to young Timothy and warning him that the love of money is the root of all evil. Our devotion this morning should not be to riches and material gain. Our devotion this morning should be to the person of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 says this, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Everything God's given us, He's given it to us to be able to enjoy it. Amen. Hallelujah. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. Hallelujah. Thank God for a good God, a great God, a giving God, a gracious God. As they sang about in the choir this morning, hallelujah. Thank God for His grace. Hallelujah this morning. But the devotion of riches. In other words, people literally just fall in love with materialism. And I believe that's part of the problem in our world right now. And if we're not careful, we'll teach and train our children that the things of this world are more important, that our devotion to the things of this world, our love to this world, is more important than us loving God. Lord, help us today. Man, that's precious to see all those children up here this morning singing. This little light of mine, now I'm going to let it shine. Hallelujah, thank God. Let's help them to keep it shining for the glory of God this morning. Our devotion ought to be to Christ today and Him alone. I realize we need to love our families because the Bible teaches us to do that and all those things. But our first devotion ought to be to Christ today. It ought to be to Christ. But there's the devotion. Let me say this about the devotion. Number one, He desires our devotion. He being Christ today. Not only does He desires our devotion, He deserves our devotion. God being good to you this morning, He deserves our devotion. And as we think about devotion today, we have a Savior that has been devoted to you and I. Hallelujah. A Savior who is devoted to you and I. He didn't go just part way to Calvary. He went all the way. Thank God. He didn't give up on me. After the first time He called unto me and I rejected Him, I'm glad, thank God, He was devoted enough to continue to speak to my heart and let me know that I needed Him as my Savior. But the devotion of riches, or devotion to riches, I'm afraid today is hindering and could be hindering somebody here this morning from trying to get to Christ. So we see the deceitfulness of riches, the discontentment of riches, the division or the devotion of riches. Then I want to talk about the division of riches. The division of riches. This morning, who or what are you genuinely serving? Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 24, the Bible says Jesus Himself teaches us that He says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Jesus Himself lets us know that you can't have it both ways. So we see the division of riches. This morning we must decide. Are we going to serve Him? Are we going to honor Him? Or is our greater devotion and commitment to the things of this world? Notice he lets us know in this parable that it chokes the Word, and he becometh unfruitful. I like that last one that we're going to look at hopefully next week if the Lord allows. He that receiveth seed in the good ground, he starts to bring forth fruit. In other words, there's something that is visible in that individual's life that shows that they have been born again by the grace of God. This morning, is there fruit that's evident? Or have you allowed the hindrances, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches to choke and to drown them out? We see the division. But I'm going to give you this in closing this morning. We see the devastation of riches. The devastation of riches. Now, not so much in the riches, but trusting in those riches. How sad it is for an individual to live this life and live a blessed life and close their eyes in death and not be prepared to meet God. How sad that is. But I want you to understand something this morning, friend. That is a reality that you must face. The devastation of trusting in riches. Let me give you some verses of Scripture. Proverbs 11:4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. What do you mean, preacher? Well, wrath means judgment. Does it not? There is a day of judgment that you will face. That I will face. Now, I'm glad that judgment day for me is going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved and redeemed and ready to leave this world. But yet, I'm still going to have to give an account unto Him how I've lived my life. But then there's also other days of judgment that's going to be poured out on this world. And not only poured out on this world, but then there's going to be an ultimate day of judgment at the great white throne judgment. Where for those that have not trusted Christ will be cast into the lake of fire. The rich man and Lazarus. The rich man dies. The Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes. See, his riches couldn't help him in the day of wrath. Lazarus died and was found in Abraham's bosom, which is a picture of heaven, of eternal bliss with God, if you will. Riches. Irregardless of how much you do have or you don't have, will not matter in the day of wrath. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Thank God. Not my righteousness, but thank God His righteousness being imputed to you and I through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 11:28. The Bible says, He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. In other words, you're going to bring forth fruit. Oh, hallelujah. Then Matthew 19:23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Remember, that's just right after the story of the rich young ruler that comes to Jesus and says, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, I'm glad on down in that same chapter, he says, what's impossible with men is possible with God. That didn't mean today if you have great riches, you can't be saved. That's not what he's saying. But he said it's hard because so many people are trusting in what they have. But I think about that rich young ruler. And just like we've talked about preaching through this parable and talking about them hearing, see, he heard. Just like this verse teaches us that they hear. They have opportunity, but they lack obligation. The rich young ruler says, I want to know how I can go to heaven. How can I have eternal life? See, Jesus knew his heart. Jesus tells him, go sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. And the Bible says that rich young ruler went away sorrowful. Read your Bible. He went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had opportunity. But he put his trust in what he had in this world. And the Son of God standing right before him, saying, go sell what you got, give to the poor, and come follow me. Now, Jesus is not asking you to go sell what you have. He's not asking you to sell all that you have and give your money to the poor. Now, I'm not saying he won't tell you maybe to sell something sometime and give it to something. I'm not saying that. God can do that. Boy, that scares some to death, don't it? He's not asking you to do that this morning. But he is asking today that you not trust in the things of this world and trust him. See, that's what he was wanting this rich young ruler to do, is to trust him. He knew what stood in the way of him trusting him. See, God knows what it is that's standing in your way this morning. And my prayer is God would, if there is, that God would reveal that to you. And you be willing to walk away from that and say, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. Lord, I'm going to trust you with my eternal soul. Could I say he's trustworthy? And we could get into giving and all that today, but I'm not going to get into that. But we got some scripture that talks about sowing good seed. Amen. But that rich young ruler went away sorrowful. Take your Bible and turn to the book of the Revelation. And I'm done. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 3, verse number 17. The Laodicean church age. Not only can we get our focus off as individuals, but we could even get our focus off as a church. Revelation chapter number 3, verse 17, because, speaking to the church of Laodicea, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Some of you here this morning, I don't need anything. I don't need what that preacher's preaching. Well, if you're not saved, you need it. And if you are saved, you need the Word of God sown into your heart this morning. But notice, and I believe this is the very church age in which we live today. Now, I'm not saying this church is like that, but Lord, help us not to be like this. But I believe this is the very church age of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Then notice what Jesus says. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What's Jesus saying? Y'all don't have a thing. I mean, think about that condition that he speaks of in verse 17. You're wretched? You're miserable? It's a picture of a lost person, isn't it? Hello! I might as well preach a while on it right here. Amen. Hallelujah. Thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Oh, that's a picture of a lost person, friend. But that was the condition of this church at Laodicea. They thought they had everything they needed. In all reality, Jesus says you ain't got nothing. Not good English, but it is good preaching. You ain't got nothing. You're miserable. You're wretched. You're poor. You're miserable. You're blind. You're naked. Could you think of any worse condition to be in this morning? Miserable. Boy, I was miserable one day. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, somebody come along and got me out of that misery. I was blind. Boy, just that Amazing Grace song. Think about that. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, yes. Jesus warns us in this parable of the sower. He warns us. And friend, he's warning you this morning. If you are trusting in anything other than Christ today, then today is the day of salvation. You don't have to die and perish in your sin. You don't have to live wretched, miserable, naked, and blind. You can live with the person of Christ right in your heart. But you got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. Have you trusted Him today? Can you say with 100% assurance in your heart that if you never heard another gospel message, never had another opportunity to walk inside the doors of a church, that if you were to slip out into eternity before the sun sets on this day, are you ready to meet God? If you can't say that this morning, then friend, right here is a good place to get it settled. Don't let the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And then Luke gives us the lust of the flesh. Don't let those things hinder you from coming to Christ today. Let's stand to our feet all over the building. Brother Scott, if you want to come with a song of invitation. What you got for us? 157. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, as we're gathered here in this wonderful place, and Lord, that wonderful crowd today, Lord, I thank you for everyone that chose to come this way this morning. And Lord, I don't know the need of anybody's heart here today, but Lord, you know every heart, you know every need. And Lord, there are so many things out here will hinder. Lord, as we try to sow the seed of the Word of God, there will be things that will try to hinder. But oh God, this morning, I pray you pull back the blinders. And God, I pray this morning you touch every heart, Lord, it's in this building. It's reached the age of accountability. And Lord, if they're not right with you, God, if they've not truly called upon you and trusted you for genuine salvation, I pray this morning, God, you'd prick their heart. And I pray you give them faith and courage to step out even this morning and come and say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, if they'll come sincerely, Lord, you'll save them because you said you would. Then, Lord, as Christians today, I pray that you'd help us that, Lord, we'd keep our focus upon you and, Lord, your work and serving you and, Lord, not get caught up in, Lord, all the things of this world. Yes, Lord, we have needs, and Lord, we can take those things that you bless us with and help be a blessing to others. But Lord, help us not to get our priorities, Lord, all out of line this morning. Help us that you'd be our devotion, our priority. But Lord, we'd ever want to serve you because one day we're going to stand before you. So, Lord, I just pray you take the invitation right now. You'd speak to hearts. No doubt there's somebody here today, Lord, needs to be saved. Oh, God, I pray don't let them walk out that door till they come get right with you. I commit it to your hands, Lord. You do what I cannot do. And, Lord, I'll thank you and praise you. It's in Christ's name. Amen.